Tonight, at about 7:20 p.m., officers from the South Precinct responded for a report of shots fired.
Shot inside a rented movie theater.
Boy shot in his own home.
Police are still looking for a suspect out there involved in a shooting.
Armed student opened fire Friday morning.
The 30-year-old was transported to Harborview.
Okay, so this is a podcast about guns. Now wait, before you shut it down, before you go to your entrenched opinions, this is a unique story about nonpartisan research and solutions. This podcast is about two UW Medicine researchers who are, to say the least, swimming upstream to try and impact the gun violence that is ravaging this country.
Because there are so many people involved, it's a public health problem. And so that we should really apply the principles of public health to studying the gun violence problem. And the core of the public health approach is science.
Chipping away at a segment of the population that turns out is 21 times as likely as the average person to get shot.
Those are some powerful numbers.
This is the UW Medicine Pulse with Marty Reamer. Real-world stories of the discoveries being made at UW Medicine and the impact they're having on people here in the Pacific Northwest and around the world.
Gun violence statistics, as you probably know, in the U.S. are grim.
There are around 32,000-33,000 people a year who die in the United States from guns. In the state of Washington, back starting in 2008, there are more deaths from guns than there are from motor vehicles.
Just ask Dr. Fred Rivara. He's a UW Medicine and Seattle Children's Hospital pediatrician who spent a good part of his career studying gun violence.
We started off by looking at the relationship between home ownership of gun and risk of violent death. And we did a series of studies and working with the medical examiner here and in Memphis and in Cleveland, and showed that if you had a gun in your home, the risk of homicide increased about threefold and the risk of suicide increased as much as tenfold.
Now, if these statistics were caused by anything else, a virus, mosquitoes, drugs, we'd label it a public health emergency, fund studies, and develop policies to stop it. But guns, as you know, are different.
Unfortunately, researchers around the country have been blocked by opponents of gun control. We're not talking here about gun control, but those same opponents have also blocked research into guns because they fear that it's going to lead to gun control.
In 1996, Congress passed a bill restricting the CDC from funding any gun research. The argument was that gun ownership is not a disease, so the Center for Disease Control has no business funding studies. And even though that ban was lifted by President Obama in 2013, that near 20-year blackout put the brakes on most all gun research on a national level. And without research, it's hard to have an articulate argument on any side of this issue.
In fact, David Hemenway, who is at the Harvard Center for Injury Control, David talks to his doctoral students or postdoctoral students and telling them that maybe devoting your whole career to research and gun violence maybe is not the wisest idea because of the funding issue.
So researchers like Fred Rivara and his colleague at UW Medicine, Ali Rohani, have had to look elsewhere for financial support for their gun violence studies.
We are fortunate to be in a city like Seattle where we have been funded by the city of Seattle.
In 2014, the Seattle City Council voted to make the city of Seattle the very first city in America to use public dollars to fund a gun study. Some interesting observations came from that 2014 study. Among them, the fact that victims of gun violence are much more likely to get shot again in the future than the average person.
The number you are referring to is 21. So what we found was that if someone was hospitalized for a gunshot wound, when we followed them up for 5 years after their hospitalization discharge, they were 21 times more likely to be shot and get hospitalized again compared to the control group who was not shot. So those are some powerful numbers.
21 times more likely. It's not only a shocking stat, it's a smart place to invest time to see what's going on and if we can't reduce those odds.
What we found from this, the prior study, the first study that the city funded, that over a two-year period in King County, there were only about 222 people that were shot. So it's a relatively small number. But from what Ali said is that that group is at great risk of recidivism, both to come back into the hospital, to commit subsequent crime, to be shot or to be killed. And so the police department, the mayor's office, the city council wanted us to say, look, there's a relatively small number of people here. Let's focus on that small number of people and see if we can't really help them, which would not only help those individuals, but help to reduce crime and violence in the city.
So what we are doing is that we are focusing on people who have already been shot and they present to Harborview Medical Center, and we're providing them with an intervention. To my knowledge, there has never been an effort like this completely focused exclusively on people with gunshot wounds to provide them with this type of intervention.
Despite the prevalence of gun violence in the U.S., it's still reasonable to assume that most of us, thankfully, have not been shot. So we can't even begin to imagine the physical and especially the emotional toll a shooting takes on its victim.
What's it like to be shot? Not physically now, but what does that do to your psyche?
Well, I think that what many people talk about in instances where you've been injured, whether it be being shot or being in a motor vehicle crash, is that it may in many ways be presenting as a teachable moment. It's a point in time where individuals may sort of sit back and say, what did I do to get into this situation? What can I do to prevent myself from getting in this situation again? We've done that here at Harborview and Pioneer, doing this motivational interviewing and interventions for people who have alcohol problems, because we know that people that are intoxicated when they are injured are at much greater risk of coming back with the same sorts of injuries again because of alcohol problems. So addressing their alcohol abuse is a way to reduce that risk. And doing it at the time they're in the hospital, sitting in a hospital bed, because they were intoxicated, injured, may be a real teachable moment. So we're really trying to take advantage of that same thing here with the gunshot wound victims. This is a moment in time where they really need to think about what they've done, what are the consequences, and may want to change things, but frankly don't know how. And it's probably pretty impossible for an individual by themselves to be able to do that. So we're trying to provide them the help to be able to do that.
What does that look like, enrolling a patient for this study?
You mean logistically?
Yeah, like you find out someone's been shot from the emergency room? Is that?
Absolutely. And it's not a very vague chief complaint, as you could imagine, when we talk in medicine. It is very clear. Our research assistants in this study, they look at the what's called an ED board to see whether we have what's called a GSW, gunshot wound victim, who is presenting to Harborview Medical Center. Once they are in this study, then we will contact them again on five different occasions during the year of follow-up to collect more information about them. And we are collecting a range of different pieces of information on their quality of life, their happiness scale, their substance use, their mental health, and others.
But we'll also look at crime and repeat injury.
What's the best outcome for this research that you're doing now?
Our goal, really, the bottom line, is to try to reduce recidivism, as Fred mentioned. And that's a loaded term. That refers to many different things. But we want to make sure that they don't get shot again. We want to make sure that they don't get injured again. We want to make sure they don't die. We want to make sure that they are much less likely to perpetrate crime. We would like to promote their health and well-being. That's our bottom line.
And finally, I would add that we hope to develop a model that, if successful, can be used by other communities. So I think we view ourselves here at the University of Washington and the Harborview Injury Prevention Research Center as conducting research that can be used by others nationally.
And you, Ali, are from Iran. Do you bring some international perspective to this problem? I mean, do you compare what's going on here in the U.S. to Iran?
Sure, that comparison happens on a daily basis for a variety of different things. I was born there, I grew up there, I came here 12, 13 years ago, and that comparison is just constant. It's on both sides. I always mention this, is that as much as I have really thoroughly enjoyed living in this society, the freedom to speak your mind, the opportunities that the American society provides. One of the things related to this conversation we are having that truly has shocked me, and it is not an exaggeration to say that, it's the issue of gun violence. I was never exposed to it at all the way that I'm exposed to it here when I was in Iran.
I think it's important for us to realize that in the last 50 years, more people have died on our city streets from gunshot wounds than have died in all of the wars that the United States has fought since the Revolutionary War.
And so Fred Rivara and Ali Rouhani are embarking on this new 2-year study funded by the city of Seattle to see if in some small way, or maybe not so small a way, they can turn the tide on gun violence. And they are doing all this while well aware that they will probably face some formidable political headwinds.
We have a huge passion for this work. I always cite Bill Fagey, who he was one of the pioneers of working on smallpox eradication. He always talks about importance of working on important things, things that could change lives, things that could make lives better. And I think people like Fred and I, we really find this type of work very rewarding. To be honest with you, it's not as if I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, 20 or 30 years down the road, what's going to happen to my career. Right now, I am really enjoying what I'm doing, and I really every day feel very blessed to be able to work on this.
To find out more about the gun violence research being fronted by Fred Rivara and Ali Rouhani at UW Medicine, please visit our website, uwmedicine.org/pulse. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes to get every episode delivered to your phone or tablet for free as soon as they are released. Thanks to both of our guests for joining us today. UW Medicine Pulse is produced by Tina Knoll, associate producer Aaron Gervais. I'm Marty Reamer. Thanks for listening.